Hello and welcome to the final installment of the Sorry Tale of Charlie and Lucy. This was our live recorded session and you'll love this episode because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where our participants get vociferous. This is where they make a stand, for better or worse. Enjoy and remember, if you wish to unpack some wacky workplace issues at your workplace, who are you going to call? Hello and welcome to the WoWork podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trey Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
So, we need somebody to start to tell us a little bit about Charlie's stance. You would be the person defending Charlie. We need somebody to also start as a prosecution about the concerns that Lucy might have if you were prosecuting the case. We also need a work design strategist. For right now, is there anybody on the Charlie tables that wants to start? Or else we phone a friend and we pick you. We tag team. Is that you? Is that what you're saying, Wes? You're Charlie? You're volunteered. You're up. Okay. Are you happy to be volunteered? All right. There's a Charlie. Do we have a Lucy ready to take on? Oh, she's dying. Watch out. Do we have someone, and now from any of the tables, that wants to talk about work redesign? Any of those parts that could be done better? And you don't have to speak immediately. You could wait till you hear them debate and then. All right. Work redesign. Okay. So, again, if you get stuck, you can phone a friend. Equally, if you're dying to get on, raise your hand and we might come along and tap you, okay? And you can take over one of their seats right now. So, Trace, give it a little context. What? State your concerns. I am the defendant. I'm the defendant lawyer for Charlie. Here's my defendant's case. This is his concerns. Just give us some context. Why should Charlie be defended? Why should Lucy's prosecution be successful? What might be helpful to redesign? Now, for the first few minutes, we'll change Charlie tables with Charlie, Lucy's with Lucy. It will change later. It's all about empathy. We've been trying to learn empathy on both sides. But for right now, Charlie tables can swap with Charlie. You'll have to remind me if I forget. Lucy tables with Lucy. Anyone can be a work design strategist. Watch out, you might get booted. Okay. Yeah. Now, you can flourish facts. Don't worry, you haven't read the 120 pages, so just bring it on. Go ahead.
So you become Grinches and cancel the Christmas functions.
Yes.
And cut this other gentleman out of work.
Do you want to start with stating your claim? Should we have, we'll have Lucy start. Lucy's going to... Yeah, let's let the plaintiff, Lucy's lawyer is going to really state the claim. All right. Lucy, all yours.
Your Honour. My client, Lucy, has in good faith taken a position with Charlie's business to provide excellent services as a producer in the jewellery space. At all times, she's diligently worked for Charlie with his interests in mind, and she has performed brilliantly at that job. At the same time, she's formed a close bond with her colleagues on the team, and she values her job highly. Therefore, it was a great shock to her to know that Charlie bore these feelings towards her, and at first approach, she immediately repelled his advances. That means that she was saying no. Unfortunately, Charlie did not take no for an answer and persisted in his attentions. Now, by any stretch of the imagination, he must have imagined that his advances may not be welcome to a young woman in a subordinate relationship where the power imbalance was very evident.
I'm scared of Lucy's lawyer. And the defendant for Charlie.
I think Alan should be sitting there, Your Worship. My learned colleague here has painted this wonderful picture of an innocent young woman who's willing to receive gifts from a lonely, hard-working self-owned businessman running a small business with a limited number of employees. The poor man has been emotionally upset with the divorce of his wife. He's been incredibly lonely and vulnerable, and he's expressed his feelings towards an employee who my learned colleague says rejected him, which I don't think she really made that clear. I think she was not communicating correctly what was going on. She wasn't reading the messages and responding to them. As a lawyer would ask, which part of no don't you understand? I don't think the no was used. And I think my learned colleague has pushed that too far. This poor man is... This poor man is looking for some love and care in his life, and I think he's been out of circulation and only off the leash for a short period of time, and he doesn't know how to behave in that complicated world of dating.
Clumsy, not nefarious,
and I don't think he would interpret and I don't think he intended his behaviour to be interpreted as sexual harassment at all.
Work design strategist.
So who do we have here for Lucy?
Work design strategist.
Oh, work design strategist. Oh, you get the
heart. My first question is for Charlie.
I think I'm supposed to be 42, and I'd say about 22 years of that.
22.
Are you self-employed? Do you know what workaholic means, running a small business?
Find someone ready to.
I don't think this learned colleague has any understanding of what it's about to run a business.
All right. Who's going to be Lucy?
Maybe not. But we're here talking a lot about psychosocial risk, and part of that is not being healthy and enjoying yourself outside of your business and having more to work. You know? Maybe you're feeling a bit insecure within yourself.
I think the word and the term you're looking for is work-life balance. And I think our jeweler friend, Charlie, running this business, is totally aware of that. He's still alive, he's still functioning, and he's running the business quite successfully, and yet you're trying to say he doesn't have an understanding of that.
The risk assessment.
Charlie's lawyer, you've got a question to you.
So my question is, under the WHS legislation, psychosocial hazards, 55C and 55D. Have you completed, now I think it's H, workplace interactions under controls. It is. So have you completed your psychosocial risk assessment, particularly into workplace interactions and behaviours? And what controls have you identified in that risk assessment? And subsequently, have you implemented them?
As a small business owner, I cannot state that I'm entirely familiar with every aspect of that act. Though, you know, I know that to run a successful business, you do need to, maintain a happy and collegiate environment where everybody can perform at their best. And, I think what my client Charlie has always tried to do is to show as much generosity he can to his working family and maintain that environment. Yes, he did express feelings for one of his employees, but in the context of the close working family that was Boutique Jewellery, I don't think that my client intended any harassment of any case, and he was really quite shocked.
What does Lucy's lawyer say to that?
This was brought about.
So I suppose, despite it being unintended, it could mean something different for my client. So, again, referring to what I said previously, power imbalances. It's hard to imagine how my. Objectively.
Junior counsel.
Please, help. Sorry, I'm not quite sure what you mean.
Move your lips. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what his intentions are. The test under the law is objective. So it's how Lucy, how a reasonable person would consider Lucy would feel. So even though Charlie's intentions might have been completely sincere, although I doubt that they were, it doesn't matter. It's that argument will not be heard in court.
And I wonder about this whole business, because all proof is granted or pre-court or the law, it's irrelevant whether you're a mum and dad business or a huge corporation, you'll be equally prosecuted.
Remember that when we do reflections, let's talk about that. So I've got 2 points in reflections. Let's go back to that. Our work design strategist.
Okay, so 2 points, 2 questions. Within your HR policies and procedures, do you have a procedure on bullying and harassment? And within that, how is recognition and reward established within your business? And do your employees have to declare gifts and benefits?
Pause. All right, remember that question. You might have to repeat it for the next person. Everybody's going to mix now. So this is now the Charlie tables. These are the Lucy tables. What? All right. Empathy across. So I need a Charlie. If we don't have a hand raise, I'm picking one from the Lucy tables. Sorry. Charlie. Oh, wrong. Charlie? No, Charlie. You gone up? Would you do Charlie? No. Charlie? No, yeah, we want, we're swapping now. So to have empathy with the other side. Charlie, come on up. Uh-oh. And Lucy. Lucy, Aldo, Lucy. You're work design strategist. We're swapping. You're the lawyer for Lucy, you're the lawyer for Charlie. Work design strategists are swapping too, but just state your question again so we can get that to Charlie's lawyers. Do you remember roughly the question?
It's a long one. So within your HR policies and procedures, do you have a procedure on bullying and harassment? And are your staff trained in bullying and harassment within your workplace? And as part of that, how is recognition and reward established? And do you have to declare gifts and benefits?
Whoa! Intense. Yeah.
Okay, so we're a small family business. We don't have a HR department as such. Those functions are part of the existing roles. We don't explicitly have a policy on harassment, but certainly we feel very strongly as a business that... that we're a respectful workplace, and I would certainly expect that isn't occurring in my workplace or in the workplace of Charlie's workplace. The second part was, can you remind me again? Reward and recognition. It is, I guess, common practice in Charlie's workplace, being we produce jewellery and we like to share our products with our staff. We feel that's an accepted practice. Rewarding them. So it's not explicitly documented, but it has been a standard practice that we've had.
Well, actually, I was going to err on that side as well with the job descriptions and HR policies. Do you have separation of roles also?
within your organization so that employees can at least have some differentiation within the organization. I was going to ask about the policies in HR. Have you thought about outsourcing or consulting an HR specialist to help manage the relationships that you have with your employees?
If you missed that, that was "we will now."
Yeah. Lucy's lawyer.
So my compliant client, when Charlie actually indicated to her for the first time that he had some deep feelings for her, she quite categorically indicated that those feelings were not reciprocated. Quite categorically. The issue of gifts on a continuing basis, my client accepted because it was common practice in this business for gifts to be given to employees, ostensibly as a reward for work that was well done. And my client considered that she that her behaviour in terms of her job was exemplary in this regard.
Yes?
So Trage has found dozens of cases, literally dozens of cases, about psychologists who fall in love with their patients and they start to have overtures to their patients, and guess what? They get into a ton of trouble. And so if you start thinking about what should a psychologist do if they fall in love with their patient, it's pretty easy, isn't it? So is there a place in the workplace for a boss who has non-work-related feelings for the staff?
Oh, I've got to ask. Strategist? Go for it. Work design strategy.
Charlie, did you have any training in the workplace around any of these psychosocial risks? Did you have a surveillance of emails and communications between staff members to ensure that there wasn't any inappropriate behaviours going on? And what's your awareness of what the law says and what your emails and communications say to Lucy?
Thank you. As Charlie's lawyer, I'm in... acknowledging that Charlie, as the employer of fine design jewelry, does not necessarily have the strongest knowledge of workplace legislation, work health and safety regulations, but as far as Charlie has indicated that he has not received any formal complaints from staff, nor have other staff approached him to, you know, provide any negative feedback from either the gifts that he has gifted them or any relationship that they are perceiving between himself and Lucy or himself and any other worker in the workplace.
Lucy's lawyer.
Thank you, my learned colleague. I think the real issue here is that Lucy, as a young woman, would have no knowledge of this particular part of the act. And I think that her employer has access to all sorts of extra help through the small business associations that he could be a member of, or the durable trade industry, and all sorts of things. So regardless of the size of his business, he actually has access to information that would help.
Go ahead.
To Lucy's lawyer, I note that Lucy's job role and description changed a number of times in the time that she worked for Charlie whilst receiving gifts. What were the changes in her actual tasks and how did that come about that she went from an assistant to a manager?
I'm sure this was based on her performance in her work. And my client has actually suggested the same, that what happened was that she was promoted because she was so good in her role, and that she was able to build the business for him so that he could otherwise employ other staff and extend his business and, in fact, perhaps create more and more beautiful jewellery so that he could earn more money and be more successful in his business.
Pause. Excellent. Excellent. Everybody.
Are there any burning comments right now that somebody's like, they didn't say this, and I really want them to say that?
Yeah.
I just had a question in regards to the psychologist example, in terms of external, I guess, controls, with having professional associations. So being a small business owner, you might have access to supports, but if your primary focus is in jewellery and you haven't received any training, how do you know that that's available? And is there any professional membership or...?
For jewellers?
Yeah.
Don't let Trace say the P word, because he'll not stop. But the associations are good because they can provide information and guidance, and sometimes they have consultants you can see and talk to. I wish the person making the overture saw a lawyer early in the piece before everything blew up, because the advice would be very, very simple. The advice is stop, just stop. And the problem is that advice just doesn't get given at an early stage, particularly where there's no association that someone can draw on.
Can I add, so whilst you can get private advice, you get independent advice, you get legal advice, my understanding of the government is just that it throws information at that front line. It empowers people. We're one of the few democracies where we push information out. It's not just about freedom of information and right to information. It's actually, here's this stuff. It's good stuff. We'll even give you free templates on how to do a risk assessment. And you know what? There is nothing wrong with those templates, because they would be easily tested. Now, they can be improved by a bespoke lawyer, a bespoke designer, and I would suggest that, but at least you've got a starting point, and it's a legal starting point, so there's a lot of free stuff. So that would be my answer. It would be call the 1-800 number. You'll find a very, very earnest inspector saying, yeah, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. If you like, I'll come around and I can show you stuff. We're fortunate in this country to have such accommodating. By the same token, they'll whack the stick if you don't comply.
And it's the whack the stick that I want to mention because... That's all right. It's whack the stick that I want to mention because you often talk about the UK judgments being tiered, if you were, scaled for small business versus large, but that doesn't happen in Australia in principle. You could be subject to the same fines, exposures, no matter the size of your business. So there's scalability in the UK law.
Yeah, I think with the psychologist cases, if a psychologist forms a relationship with their patient, which just shouldn't happen to start with, but if it does happen, then they can refer the patient on to another psychologist and terminate that professional relationship and then have a relationship outside of work. Now, I'm not condoning that, but I'm saying that's your baseline. You know, you would at least do that. But for an employer, it's impossible. So,
can you register registration as part of that?
Yes. No, you don't have registration as a jeweller. And it's much, much harder for an employer, because what are you going to do, sack the employee? You can't do that. So are you going to quit your job? No, most employers are not going to quit their job. But you have to have some serious intervention. You can't have these overtures, what are really personal, overtures about a personal nature, being, I'm going to say it, Trage, I'm sorry, when you're in a position of power, you can't have the overtures in a work environment.
And if you're a psychologist or any professional, power and knowledge, and they're pretty tightly that triad of control.
But sometimes you need an outsider to say stop.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, it's that power disparity, right? Yeah. So much so. Yeah. Does anybody want to know where Lucy is these days?
Oh, I've told some, but many of you don't know. Alan, you'll tell us, where is Lucy?
She's a Perugian now.
Yeah.
And she's...
Designing
and
jewellery.
And she's...
Designing jewellery.
Designing jewellery.
Yeah. pretty good jewellery too.
Pretty top-notch jewellery, yes. Yes. New South Wales, for the record.
I already am. Like, I had 4 incidents last week reported to me, psychosocial. So it's just like, what, like, we just see so many types of reports. So I see HR-led reports. I had one with a lawyer that was sent to a legal firm and they reported it. But I don't see a lot come looking at the safety implications. So, you know, we talk about this from a WHS perspective and looking at the investigations for the WHS, you know, idea or suggestion. So I don't see any of that coming. All I see is all substantiated or unsubstantiated. That's all I see. And one of the things within the mining regulation is we have to have a review of control measures. And I don't see a lot of that coming out of those investigation reports. Yeah.
Maturity? Yeah.
Sorry. 2 more comments.
Yeah, just have a question regarding what we already discussed. Is there any particular program or support to small business owners here in Australia to basically support them or educate them about the, for example, WHS regulation sort of things, or it's their full responsibility to outsource or learn their sales about those sort of stuff?
The previous question raised one of the concerns that I have, and I mean, we're talking about prosecuting an employer here who's a small business employer, and the dilemma for small businesses, they don't have the resources or the personnel to actually provide that background. I'm just supporting the lawyer for our friend here, but they don't have the resources to do that, so they don't have the infrastructure within their business to do it, and yet one of the previous lawyers for our for Charlie almost admitted ignorance on the witness box there, and you don't ever admit that, because what the answer should have been was, we've outsourced that information, our legal firm provides that for them, or our consultants provide it, because that's the dilemma, and a lot of these employers do not have that resource available.
And there's judgment on this. It's a famous Trolley Boys case where a trolley shopping trolley collector with 15-year-olds, they were skylarking, they broke, they were still prosecuted. He said, Your Honour, I can't afford to employ more experienced workers. And the short shrift was, well, if you can't afford competent workers, you should not be in business. That's how the law looks at it.
So before I pass on to the next 2 questions, I just want to make sure, I've been taking photos today. Are you comfortable with those being on social media? Because if not, I won't show the photo that had you in it. Anybody not? Pull me aside if not, all right? Okay. Just on LinkedIn or something. Or a website.
I guess my question's around, for a business owner, how do you know what you don't know until after the fact? Because business owners are not necessarily going and looking at case law. They may not be aware of their WHS obligations. We know because we're in that workspace, but anybody could start a business tomorrow. Yep. And they're not at the point of knowing what they don't know to even know to go and set these things in place until it's too late, and they're now having to protect themselves. And I guess also we're going through a cultural change, particularly sort of old school businesses that might have been, but we're like a family. We spend so much time together. You know, we all work really closely together that those boundaries haven't been established, and they could be long-term businesses. How do they know what they should be doing?
Does that relate to when you want to ask? Yeah, kind of. And also, sorry, I don't know your name, but the question about how do small businesses find out information? And I'm from the Work Personal Safety Regulator in Queensland, and I know if industry comes to
us. There is the injury prevention and management program, which can provide one-on-one support for workplaces. So IPAM, they can provide that if workplaces approach them. And there's also like Business Chamber Queensland, businesses can. So I think they have to take the first step to ask the questions, but there are, I think, things in place. Yeah. Mm. I would like to know how can we trigger them? Like, is it through their accountants or through their lawyers? Or, yeah, like what is the touch point for those small businesses?
If you want to stay, please. We are at time, but I think we had two comments here, was it? Or Aldo?
So the innocent party in all of this is generally the employer who may not know what's going on. And in a lot of cases, won't even see that anything is going on. So is it some answer in your gentleman's esteemed view for an employer or a PCBU, which is the term we've adopted, to have some sort of blanket non-fraternisation policy?
You should have come to that workshop.
Yeah, saw that. That is, yeah.
Sorry, I may have missed it, but what happened? Who won?
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.